Today we're joined by James Durney from Kildare. James is a military historian. He's written books on subjects such as the Irish in Vietnam, on World War One. His latest book is on Kildare in the Irish Civil War. But we're talking to him about his article in the Irish Sword Journal, When Aindeer Street Became the Dardanelles. So thanks for joining us, James.
Hello, glad to be here with you.
Most people will know, James, that the Dardanelles or Gallipoli was a very bloody battle in the First World War where many Irishmen died. But how did a street in Dublin become known as the Dardanelles during the War of Independence?
Well, it was just that around the summer of 1920, the Dublin district issued a list of 12 bad areas in terms of high rebel activity. And one of these, of course, was the Aindeer Street, Camden Street area that ran down to Dublin Castle from Portobello Barracks. Ambushes became so frequent there that the British soldiers, auxiliaries that were running along here, they called this the Dardanelles because it was a series of narrow streets, a bit like the Dardanelles. And it even had one part of the area known as the Narrows. This is how it became to the British known as the Dardanelles.
The people doing this attack were the IRA, of course. After the Easter Rising, how did the IRA in Dublin reorganise itself from its defeat in the Rising?
Well, they wouldn't really have considered it a defeat as such. Of course, when they reorganised, they were going to fight the war completely different. This conflict would not be a rerun of 1916. It was going to be, on their terms, a conflict of assassinations and attacks on targets that suited them rather than suited the British. They weren't going to be penned up in any buildings, and that they were going to do the attacking and they were going to do it their way. It took a considerable amount of time to reorganise the IRA after 1916 through 1917-18. It was all about organising, drilling, rifle practice, stuff like that, raids for arms and that. It wasn't really until 1919 that the war was really hotting up, and then it was a series of assassinations and against the G Division in Dublin, the G Division of the Dublin Metropolitan Police, the intelligence section, really.
Now, that was mostly the work of the squad, but would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, this was a specially formed assassination squad. Mick Collins's 12 Apostles, as they were known. There was more than 12 of them in it at most stages anyway, but these were handpicked by Collins for assassinations in the Dublin city area. And again, it was mainly G Division detectives that were singled out. The squad, of course, went on then to be assassinating members of British intelligence that had come over then later on.
When many people think of the War of Independence in Dublin, they'll think of that, the intelligence war. But in the Dardanelles, or on Aindeer Street, Wexford Street, Camden Street, in that area, we see a different pattern. We see attacks on troops more and auxiliaries, isn't that right?
Yeah, they were attacking troops and mostly auxiliaries in and around that area, and then British troops then as well. Probably the more attacks were on the police rather than the military. It was only later on in the conflict that the military was targeted just as much.
Two units in particular, I see in your article, were responsible for the attacks in the streets, the street ambushes. One of them is the Dublin Active Service Unit, and the other one is the 3rd Battalion of the Dublin Brigade. Can you say something about those units?
Dublin Brigade was consisted of four battalions, and the 3rd Battalion was responsible for the South Liffey area. So this was the area of where Aindeer Street at Dardanelles was actually. So that was their sphere of operation. There was two battalions on the north side and two battalions on the south side. Now later on, as the conflict continued, most of these battalions formed their own active service units. And these were guys that were full-time and were fully paid. These were paid something like £4.10 shillings a week. And like the squad, they were full-time. They were completely different, of course. But for bigger operations, the active service unit of each battalion would come together, maybe the four of them all together. For something like the Custom House attack, the whole active service unit was brought together, as was the squad, and augmented then by men from different battalions of the Dublin Brigade. Mm-hmm. The active service guys were really, they were the kind of first professional volunteers in the Dublin Brigade area.
And can you describe what we're talking about when we talk about attacks on the what was called the Dardanelles? What did it look like, an ambush, an IRA ambush? It
started off as patrolling. They would patrol the area, hoping that they'd come up against a British truck or a British car or anything at all. And this was the most common activity in the latter half of 1920 and into 21. And these were going out on patrol. It could be 20, 30 men. What they would be carrying would be grenades, homemade bombs and revolvers, maybe a few automatics. They didn't bring rifles and ambush like this because they don't really work in an urban area. If you want to melt back into the crowd, it's easier just to stick a revolver in your pocket and disappear through the crowded streets. For ambushes then, they would actually wait inside streets. You see along there if you drive along it, and I still drive along it, and the area hasn't really changed at all. If you look at little streets like Digger Streets or Lanes or anything, these guys would be standing in around there waiting for something to go by, lob a couple of grenades, let off a few shots with the hope of hitting anyone. It didn't really always work out like that. I mean, there was a lot of attacks, but very, very few fatal casualties. Civilians probably took as much of the brunt as military or police did because they just happened to be in the line of fire from both sides.
Hi, James. I was just wondering, that strip of Dublin, as you were describing, from Portobello Barracks, when you come up through Camden Street all the way up to Ainger Street and George Street, it has a lot of high buildings on either side, 3- and 4-storey buildings. Would the volunteers ever use the opportunity of sniper attacks, or was always, or were the ambushes always conducted from ground level?
No, they actually did use them from the buildings, tops of buildings, or from windows of 2-storey buildings or whatever. The whole idea was to drop a grenade into the back of a lorry. That would be the big thing. They only were successful at one stage when they dropped one into a British Army truck that had a cordon around the area around Wexford Street, and they killed 2 British soldiers. They would fire revolvers, drop grenades from higher buildings, all right, but never really snipers. I've never come across any use of rifles in that area for sniping. But what they would do was hopefully wait and drop, as I say, a grenade or fire a couple of shots at anything going by.